Richard. His name was Richard. I met him when I was about 10 years old. And although the rest of the family was really excited to see Richard come along, well, I wasn't so sure. You see, I lived four doors down in Rogers, just down the road from my grandmother, and her and I had the best relationship. We got to spend tons of time together. Her husband passed away in the 60s, long before I was around, no offense to some of you in the room. But even though her husband passed away, man, we had so much fun together. She would take me on adventures. And although the rest of the family was glad to see someone paying attention to my grandmother, I wasn't so sure about this guy named Richard. He was kind of coming in on my turf. So I remember one night we went to dinner as a family, and Richard came along with all of us. My mom, after dinner, says, "Doug, you're really quiet." And we're leaving or go our separate ways. And my mom leans over to me as to nudge me a little and says, "You're not even going to tell him goodnight?" So there he is walking across the parking lot. And I said, "Okay, I'll tell him goodnight." "Goodnight, you old fart." I named him. I gave him a name. Called it like I saw it. Before I knew it, he was married to my grandmother. And man, I bought him hats and cups and shirts that proclaimed old fart, and he wore them with pride. With pride. See, my grandmother promised me, "Doug, nothing's gonna change. You're still gonna be able to come over whenever you want. Don't even knock, just come in." Oh, but things changed. Things changed. The old fart, he started taking me on adventures. He took me fishing. I never knew there was so much fish in one lake. I mean, we slayed fish. We had a blast. He would take me to breakfast with his old guys. And one morning sticks out in particular. They started calling him Chief. And so we're on our way back in his pickup truck. And I'm riding and I say, "Hey, old fart, why do they call you Chief?" And he goes, "Well, we worked together at the fire station." The old fart was the chief of the Rogers Fire Department. The old fart also was in World War II on a Navy boat that was hit by kamikazes. This man could tell stories, and he was a man's man. And man, it was a lot of fun hanging out with that old fart. He had a name for me. When he wasn't calling me Young Fart, he would call me Hoss. "Hoss, you can do this. Hoss, you can go do that." Man, it was so much fun hanging out with that old fart. And what I would tell you is it was clear to see how God had provided this old fart for me right when I needed him. My parents got divorced when I was in my early teens. And my dad was gone for a long while. And so Richard became my grandpa who stepped up, who showed me what it was like to be a man, who loved me and my entire family well. Oh, how God provided through this old fart who I learned to call my grandpa. Isn't it fun how a name can really paint such a picture? I've had such a blast this week or this summer going through this series of the names by God. This week, we're on to Jehovah Jireh, our provider. My name is Doug Beatty. I have the honor to teach about once a year when the staff gets really desperate and they forget how bad I do. I got to give them enough time to invite me again. But my wife, Jennifer, and I have been attending fellowship for about 16 years. My son, Tristan, is 16, and my daughter, Piper, is 11. They're actually teaching upstairs. So if you want to hear much better teaching, fake a cough or something, go upstairs and listen to Tristan. Just make it subtle. How much fun we've had. Let me remind us of the purpose of this series. So the purpose of this series simply is knowing who God is and what God does is the foundation for all of discipleship. How true is that? When I think about the young guys that I'm pouring truth in, just trying to help them understand who he is and what he does, and then all the great men that have poured truth into me, if we can capture that fact, man, we're a long way down the road. A few notes for us. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew, so we got a little bit of translation work to do, but although God has many names, he is still just one God. And God's names reveal his essence and his authority. God reveals some of the names himself, and then like in today's example, other names are ascribed to him, in this case by Abraham. But all are affirmed in Scripture. So as a review, Hunter captured Elohim and kicked off the series, and then John, my fellow Rogers growing up guy, he Adonai. And then Sam last week had Yahweh or Jehovah. So this week we're on to Jehovah Jireh. And this is our big idea. God has always been and will always be our provider. For this, we're going to jump into Genesis 22. So if you'll take a second and jump to Genesis 22, we'll dive right in. The familiar scripture where of the great story of Abraham and Isaac, where Abraham is tested. I will read. Sometime later, after Isaac had been born, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, and he responds, here I am. Can you imagine how excited he was to respond, here I am, Lord. In Genesis 15, he got a promise. In Genesis 17, he got another promise. But here in Genesis 22, not as good of news. God says to him, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac. Not Ishmael, who had been kicked out to the desert, but Isaac, the one that brought so much joy to the house, the one they named Laughter, the one they loved so much. Take him, yes, him, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him. There, as a burnt offering on a mountain, I will show you. And then Abraham's response, early in the morning, men probably way before Sarah woke up, right? I've got something to do, and I'm going to go do this. I'm going to keep this burden away from Sarah. I'm going to get up early in the morning. There'll be plenty of time to grieve later. So that next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for a place God had told him about. But on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. I love the confidence. I love the confidence. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said, we've got the fire and the knife, and I'm carrying the wood, but where is the sacrifice? Can you imagine the turmoil in Abraham? I'd want to lash out. Don't worry about it. We'll figure it out. But he calmly tells his beloved son patiently, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son, Isaac, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham, the old man, Isaac, the young, fit man. How did this happen? The only thing we can take from this is Isaac submitted. He allowed his dad to tie him up. Then he reached out his hand. Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord interrupted him, called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he gladly replied. Can you imagine how excited he was to be interrupted this time? The Lord says, do not lay a hand on the boy. He said, do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son Isaac. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide, Jehovah Jireh. And this day, to this day, it is said that on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. No doubt. Through tears of joy, Abraham named the land Jehovah Jireh. I was taught early on, where God leads, he feeds. Where he directs, he protects. And where he guides, he provides. You think of where he leads, he feeds. Think of Exodus in the manna from heaven, where he directs, he protects. Think Gideon. And where he guides, he provides. Think our story today of Abraham. Because God did provide. God provided through rain to allow just the right amount of vegetation to grow in the right spot, allowed a thicket to develop over years to be strong enough to be able to withstand a ram, and then allowed a ram to grow horns long enough and strong enough to be caught in the right spot. Took just the right amount of vegetation to entice that ram to lean down and grab that last bite of vegetation before he found himself stuck. Oftentimes, God will send the ram well before we need him. Aren't we thankful for that? I can't begin to imagine how grateful they were to see that ram that day. God had provided, and then he had given the name, Abraham had given him the name Jehovah Jireh. And while this is a great example of faith, of Abraham's faith, it wasn't always easy for him. Let me read this quote to you by Oswald Chambers. A life of faith is not a life of one glorious mountaintop experience after another, like soaring on eagle's wings, but is a life of day in and day out consistency, a life of walking without fainting. It is a faith that has been tried and proved and has withstood the test. Abraham is not a type or an example of the holiness of sanctification, but a type of the life of faith, a faith tested and true, built on the true God. Abraham believed God. While this is one of the most amazing example stories of faith, it wasn't just an easy thing to Abraham. He, like so many others in the Bible, did not live a perfect life. And I am so thankful for their imperfections, as if it's a little bit of hope for the rest of us. Let's take a look at some of the highs and lows of Abraham's life. I tried my best to draw up my inner Robert Cup for those of you and built you a graph. I know a few of you may appreciate it. I'm counting on Weston to appreciate it this morning. If we look at Abraham in Genesis 12, he, at the ripe age of 75, left home and set out via God's divine call. And he did that in faith. At a time when he didn't know what was before him, that was an extreme example of faith. But yet, just a few verses, didn't even make it out of the chapter. A few verses later, he tells his wife, his beautiful wife Sarah, to tell everyone that she is his sister, as to protect himself from harm. He was worried that they would see how beautiful she was and they would kill him. And so he had her lie. And then in Genesis chapter 17, he laughs at God. Actually laughs at God at the idea of having this baby, this promised child of Isaac. And then again in Genesis chapter 20, once again, he has Sarah lie about being his sister and not his wife. But somehow we find him and we catch up with him in Genesis 22, and he musters up the courage to sacrifice his own son. What an ultimate example of faith. The faith example. The only way I can get my head around this is he must have looked in the rearview mirror and saw how many times God showed up. He had to be convinced that God was going to take care of him. He had to be absolutely convinced. I think this quote from Martin Luther captures it best. I've held many things in my hands and I've lost them all, but whatever I have placed in God's hands, that I still possess. I'm amazed that Abraham was able to place Isaac in God's hands when he had the same tendency as I have, as we all have, for self-provision and want to control it ourselves. But clearly, whatever we place in God's hands, that we can still possess. Isaac, the promised son. As a reminder, he was the promised son, the miraculously conceived, only son who was loved. He left his home, and when he went up the mountaintop, the companion stayed behind. The resurrection was promised by his dad. He climbed up Mount Moriah, carried the wood himself, was to be sacrificed by his father. Oh, he voluntarily submitted, was to be sacrificed by his father until caught the ram stuck in the thorns and provided that substitution. Clearly, Isaac and God's love for Isaac and Abraham is pointed, and it's what a direct parallel to our Savior, Jesus. All of the Bible points to Jesus, the promised son, miraculously conceived, the only son who is loved. He left his home in heaven for us. His companion stayed behind when it was time to climb up the mountain. And his resurrection was promised and predicted from years before. Mount Moriah, now known as Calvary, he climbed it alone. He carried the wood or the cross on his own, voluntarily submitted. He was sacrificed by his father. We all know who was in control that day. Wore a crown of thorns and was the substitution for us all. I'm so thankful for the ram that it saved Isaac, but I'm eternally grateful for the lamb that saved all of us. A ram added years to a young man's life, but the lamb gave us eternal life. While I'm amazed that God sent a ram to protect Isaac, I'm eternally grateful that he sent the lamb to provide for us. Jesus was the ultimate substitution for us, Jehovah Jireh, God provides. But yet, we still often, I still often ask the question, will God show up? Will he show up for me? See, I don't know where God has you right now, in the middle of a sickness, a loss of a loved one, a divorce, sin struggles, work challenges, a prodigal child. Are you living in Genesis 20 or 22? Are you at the mountaintop or are you in the valley? Acting out of fear or faith, will God show up? What would it look like if we operated daily in the truth that God will provide for us? What if we walked in the truth that God will provide daily for us? The creator of the universe, who knows our needs better than we know them. What if he supplied those needs accordingly and we trusted in him? What would it look like? Well, I think, as Paul says, we would be more than conquerors. In Romans 8, at the end of Romans 8, the very familiar part of this chapter, Paul captures the confidence that we should all walk in. The confidence in our one true God with many names, Jehovah Jireh. Will you guys do me a huge favor and play along? I'm gonna ask you to get a little uncomfortable. I'm gonna read this section of scripture. And when I pause and point at you, if it's true for you, will you say, I am absolutely convinced? Let's try it once. I am absolutely convinced. That's what it's gonna look like. Ready? You guys are a little slow. It's early in the morning. Ready? Here we go. I am absolutely convinced. Perfect. Okay, here we go. So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? I am absolutely convinced. If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? I am absolutely convinced. And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare even point a finger? I am absolutely convinced. The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. I am absolutely convinced. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way. I'm absolutely convinced. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying, threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. None of this fazes us because Jesus loves us. I am absolutely convinced that nothing, nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. Absolutely convinced. He had to be absolutely convinced to take his son up that hill. If you're not absolutely convinced right now, that's okay. There's been a lot of times in my life that I've doubted. But would you do me a favor? Would you grab someone? Would you grab Abel or myself or one of your cell group leaders or a friend that brought you to church today? Because there is no reason for us to leave here today without being 100% absolutely convinced in Jehovah Jireh, our God, with many names, but he is still one God that provided, and man did he ever provide through his son, Jesus. Jehovah Jireh, God has always been and will always be our provider. Pray with me. Dear Lord, you are our provider. We thank you for providing for us in the past, providing for us now, and for promising to provide for us in the future. Thank you for the lessons from Abraham and Isaac. Thank you for sending the ram for Isaac and the lamb for us. Forgive us when we doubt and act out of fear, not faith. Help us, no matter how low we get in the valley, we never forget that you will provide, and that no matter how high on the mountaintop, we never get too confident to never forget that you are who we depend on. Lord, thank you for the security of our faith. We are absolutely convinced that nothing will ever separate us from you, our provider. Amen.